New York culture with real New Yorkers. Joan Hamburg, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Wendy Sachs has a new book out called Fearless and Free: How Smart Women Pivot, and pivot is a very important word when you read Wendy's book, How Smart Women Pivot and Relaunch Their Careers. Now, it's no secret that no matter what you do, the world is changing so fast that what you do today may not be what you do tomorrow. No matter what, our industry, Wendy's industry, and Wendy has worn a lot of hats. She started out, she's been a producer, won Emmys. She's worked on major shows from CNN, Fox, Dateline. As a practical baby, she was a press secretary on Capitol Hill. She changed that after a while and went into PR. She's been in media. She's been editor-in-chief of Care.com. She talks, she writes, and she listens. So it's very interesting how you've relaunched your career many times and learned how to make uncomfortable comfortable over the years.
As you even mentioned, digital is disrupting so many industries,
right? It is.
It's changing everything from publishing,
radio
to the news business, to entertainment, to retail. Pretty much everything has been disrupted by digital. And what we're finding is that if you don't keep staying relevant and keep iterating in your career and developing new skill sets, you may not have a job anymore. So a lot of this is quite practical.
No, without question. And what we hear a lot, if women are messaging or texting or something else and want advice, is, I did this for 5 years, 10 years. How do I relaunch a new career? I'm scared. And you share so many people's experiences, including Wendy talks about someone she had admired who was sort of getting on with her life. And one of the secrets was this woman saying, I'm sorry. Like, people didn't consider her abrasive in their face, and you decided you were going to use that. I always hear, like, how did you get there? I'm lucky. Something guys don't say.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, women don't own their confidence the way that men do. We like to sort of distribute also all of the things that we do, all of our successes, to a team. We don't sort of take it on ourselves and say, hey, I've done that. We're not thumping our chests and pounding the table and saying, hey, I'm the one who actually made that happen. We like to say, well, you know, I'm part of that. I'm part of that organization. I'm part of that team. But part of that is also what holds us back. And because we can't necessarily own all of our accomplishments in the same way that men do, we also may lack the confidence to raise our hand, to ask for the promotion, to take a step up. And we're so worried about getting it all right all of the time. We want to be 100% correct before we take a chance. And that is actually what holds us back. That fear of risk taking, that fear of getting it wrong. We're in this culture of always wanting to be perfect, that women and girls are told to be perfect, but that being risk averse is actually what can hold us back from taking a step forward and changing things, changing our careers, taking on something new, trying to get the promotion.
Do you find, though, in this digital age, and who knows, digital today, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, that women who have not had this Silicon Valley, this tech experience, can go forward without what they did before being held against them?
You know, it's not about having Silicon Valley experience or startup or tech experience. You know, that's a small portion of the country who's actually doing that. But what I really talk about is that today we all need to think like entrepreneurs, which is a mindset, which is thinking that I am going to be my own brand. I'm going to put myself out there and let the world know what I can do well. What are your superpowers? What are your skills? And I'm also going to be really aware of how, you know, how my career and how the industry is moving. So if we get into the mindset of thinking like an entrepreneur, we can really help navigate our careers better. And a lot of that is creating our own magic, creating our own serendipity, which is something that I talk about in the book.
Yeah, a lot. And it's important. And Wendy gives examples. One woman I remember, in addition to other things, had really started a playground. Now, you wouldn't think that that would be anything that would help her get a job. Yeah. But she understood how to use that. Yes. And that's exactly part of right. the secret, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, right. I actually have a chapter in the book called Getting Back In. Uh-huh. And it's about the women who took themselves out of the workforce. They had children. They took a pause in their careers. But this woman, Jessica, she was really strategic when she took that time off. And she started volunteering in New York City at the Hippo Park Playground to raise money for the playground. And when she, 7 years, you know, she took a pause for 7 years. It wasn't just, you know, 18
months. No, which a lot of women do.
And she, when she started firing up her connections again to get back into the workforce and she was interviewing, she would talk about the work that she did at the playground as some of the best work she's ever done because she was able to transfer what she did there into business development. She was raising money for the playground just as she was looking to get into a job where she was also looking for business development. So it was about talking about her time off very strategically and using language that was marketable.
Did you ever feel as you, and you were very flexible, you changed when you had to change, but did you ever feel that you couldn't do it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's plenty of times. I mean, I have an entire chapter also about failure and
right,
embracing failure.
Which is part of success.
And I would say, you know, it's a cousin to confidence because actually you have to be okay with taking risks and potentially failing. And that's how you increase your confidence. So absolutely, I've tried things and they've completely blown up. You know, and that's part of the growth. I think that once you've tried something and it hasn't worked out or gone for a job and you can't get it because you're told you're just not fitting into what they're looking for, or tried your own business or your own project and that just goes up in flames, you know, it's part of the journey. And I really, truly believe that we all should be okay and get comfortable in the uncomfortable and know it's okay to fail.
Which is, you know, and my daughter, who's an entrepreneur, has been, always says that. You know, if you don't fail, you can't succeed.
That's exactly
you
right.
You have to win. But you talk about, and you've alluded to it here, growth mindset. What does that mean?
You know, there's such an interesting concept. Sally Dweck is a professor, and this whole growth mindset versus fixed mindset has become very popular in parenting because the idea is you don't just tell your daughter or your son, oh, you're really good at math. Because at some point, they may not be getting great
exactly.
grades at math, right? And then they think, oh, I'm not good at math. So what you do is you applaud the whole journey. You're working really hard. I'm proud of you for working hard. So the concept of the growth mindset is that you can keep getting better at something. You try it and you do it and you do it. It's like the 10,000 hours that Malcolm Gladwell talks
yeah.
about, right? So if you have a growth mindset, you can start believing that I can become this, I can learn this, I can get better at this, whatever that may be, whether it's writing, whether it's an artistic pursuit, whether it's academia, you can grow into that position. You can grow.
I'm talking to Wendy Sachs, whose new book is Fearless and Free, and it's really about no matter where you are in life, you can pivot and you can relaunch your life. So after all this, interviewing all these people, looking back at your own career, what do you think, if you had to just nail it, holds women back today, themselves or the changing world?
I think it's fear. I really do believe that it's fear. And I don't want to say that women lack confidence. We certainly don't lack intellect or ability or skill sets. We multitask like nobody's business. But what really holds us back is that fear of failing. And so if we're afraid of not getting it right and being judged, right, there's also this judgment that we want to be really perfect at what we do. That's what holds us back. So I really encourage women to start taking steps forward. And the fastest way to grow confidence is to take risks. And what's risky for you, Joan, might not be risky for me, might not be risky
right,
for someone
for
else. It's all very different, right? It's all really subjective. So you need to start pushing out into the areas that make you a little bit uncomfortable. And that's where the greatest growth is going to happen.
And what about, as you say, and you give example after example, a woman took off 6 years, 7 years, 5 years. Getting back in is tough.
really
I mean,
tough.
If you're a lawyer, a professional, you may have missed the window there, right?
That's absolutely right. It is really challenging. You know, there's now more companies are realizing that they've lost so much female talent over the years because the workforce
they couldn't deal with life.
That's exactly right. I mean, the workforce is not set up for working mothers or for families. Understanding that there's been this bleeding of female talent, a lot of companies are trying to bring women back in because they know that diversity is not just good for optics, it's good for the bottom line. So I would encourage women to look at these returnship programs that are happening, from Goldman Sachs to law firms to even tech companies are trying to encourage women to come back in. So there's it's definitely out there. But the number one thing to trying to get back into the workplace is activating your network and starting to go out there and going to events. And there's something really interesting, I think, that happens. And that I've heard, it's not just my own opinion, but really anecdotally, is that when you leave the workforce, your former colleagues remember you for how you were. You're sort of frozen in time.
Yeah, well.
You know, you're sort of frozen in time. So while you may feel a lack of confidence because you've been
out
and you've been, you know, at soccer games and at the PTA and not in the workforce, your colleagues actually remember you for being that smart, great, fantastic employee. So reconnect with those people. You are still that great memory. And now you just need to build up your confidence to have the mojo to get out there again.
Right. And keep that playground story in your head.
That's right.
So it's not just, I made some swings happen in the park. But I often hear ageism.
Oh, yeah.
Ageism.
Yes.
Now, that's very complicated, and especially in a digital world where you work with 20-year-olds, right? I mean, they know how to code, they know how to do all this. How do you deal with that?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I've definitely experienced ageism, and I'm, you know, in my mid-40s. I think it's happening earlier and earlier, and that's exactly right, particularly the industries that I'm in, media and publishing. They are hiring younger and younger people, and my last boss was 29 years old.
So, that's another art skill.
You know, it's really challenging. So I think for people who are, you know, over 35 and in these particularly young industries, you have to sort of almost mentally get over it a little bit. You have to make sure that you can talk the talk and that you look the part. Not that everyone needs to go, you know,
exactly,
have Botox and plastic surgery, but that you feel current and relevant and that you can blend into the culture. Culture is so important for millennials. It's so important for these startup-y types of companies out there. It's super important to be able to fit in.
Right. And in fact, when I read the book, I said to my daughter, she has a lot of friends who are changing careers in their 40s, in their late 30s. And I said, they have to read this book because you really, I mean, it's one thing to say be fearless. It's another thing to be fearless. You just have to pretend you're fearless.
That's exactly right. I am a big fan of faking it until you become
it. Right, and then you learn it.
You learn it. You learn it. You have to sort of go out there. It's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and you get yourself into that mindset. And then here's the thing that happens. The more that you do it, the more that it becomes real and authentic to you, and you're no longer really faking it anymore. It becomes part of how you present, and you know that you can do it. But it's hard at first. There's no doubt about it.
And do you feel that women continuously make the same mistakes
in
their careers, in trying to get ahead or in even changing careers?
You know, I think that there's a lot of forces that hold women back. I do think that it's challenging for working moms. A lot of us like to keep our heads, you know, under the radar for a while when the kids are young. It's very hard to create any sort of, forget about balance, but just trying to get through the day can be really challenging. And so that can sort of hold us back from moving forward. So I think that we have to mentally get into that headspace that we can do more than what we're doing right now, that we're not stuck, we're not trapped, that there's an entire world of opportunities out there, and that the digital disruption, while it has definitely
changed,
effective and blown up industries and put a lot of people out of work, that there are so many new possibilities. And I do believe that everything you need to learn, you can learn online these days, unless you're trying to become an astronaut or a brain surgeon.
Right.
YouTube it, Google it, read up about it. You can inform and educate yourself. You don't even need to go to, you know, university classes to learn new skill sets these days.
And it's important, too. You have to be part of the changing evolution, no matter what it is. So whether you're broadly connected or intimately connected, you have to talk the talk.
Absolutely. You know, once you get yourself into the room and with the right people and speaking their language, a world of possibilities can open up for you.
And it's all here, Fearless and Free, How Smart Women Pivot and Relaunch Their Careers. Wendy Sachs. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Joan Hamburg. You're listening to WABC.